Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, I'm Therapist Kelly.
It's nice to see your face back in
studio. I'm so happy. We did lunch beforehand.
It was so nice. Yay. Okay, so I have to give Prowler a report.
Yes,
because since the last week's show, we took him to the vet last Tuesday, and that bugger is just thriving up a storm with this cancer. Like, who would think? So she did his blood panel again. Mm-hmm. His liver, his kidneys, his red blood cell and white blood cell count all got better.
Ridiculous.
And that does not say that the cancer's gone,
right?
But he's responding very well. She came back in with him and she said, I'm really pleased. This is going really well, because I guess they don't expect that kind
of
vibrancy in the cat. So, you know, so he's like about 6 weeks into treatment now.
Wow.
And chemo, he'll be on for a whole year.
Okay.
The prednisolone, which is the steroid, we're reducing that.
Uh-huh.
He gets his B12 shots and his acupuncture and all these other things that we're doing for him. And this morning, that bugger had a 2.5 hour feeding frenzy. I swear to God, I get up at 7, I give him his medicines and his herbs, and then I put out bowls, and he'd like walk away, act like he was done, lick his paws, and then I would take the food away because I don't want it to spoil, because now it's all the wet food. And then he would come up to me and he would just like slam my calf and go, Mom, feed me, and start meowing. Okay, here's some more, here's some more. And he did that like 10 times this morning. So I run out, I do my walk, I come back, and like by the time I actually left to come out here, it was 2.5 hours, and he probably would have eaten more.
That is hysterical.
Isn't
what about puppy cat? Now that Prowler's getting more, is puppy cat like, yo, what's up?
Yeah, well, on the good front, puppy cat is actually leaning a little bit more toward the wet food anyway. We understand for digestion for cats, it actually long-term is better for them to eat more wet food. I had always heard that
it was
the opposite, that the kibble was the better stuff for them, and it was also much easier because you didn't have to worry about it going bad. Mm-hmm. You could sort of like the free flow food and not have to worry about being home at a certain time to feed them. But so he's eating more wet food, less dry food. He does not understand why his brother is such a piglet, though. I mean, he really looks at him like, okay, I guess I should eat a little bit more, too. You're still eating?
Right,
it's hysterical. But
anyway, that's great news.
So it's
awesome.
Very good news. I'm very excited about it. But God, this heat, I do not like this heat.
I
was just thinking, can you imagine? I bet you there are no postmenopausal women in Afghanistan. Because everybody would be dead.
Exactly.
Right?
It's so 115,
125 degrees. No.
What is the temperature today? So I think it's like 100, isn't it?
It was 103 when I was coming out here.
Oh, my God. Was it that high?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You don't mind.
I don't mind. I was just going to say that to you. But it's because I've had to deal with such brutal winters on the East Coast that this, to me, I'd so much rather deal with heat than like that frigid where you just don't want to go out. You got to like de-ice your car. It's a pain in the tush hole.
But you know what is so different these days? And this must be the global warming or something strange.
Yeah.
Because at least when, you know, you head out from the San Fernando Valley and you get to like Calabasas, brutal, right?
Yeah.
Then Agora, slightly cooler. Westlake, a little cooler. Thousand Oaks, a little cooler. Newberry Park, a little cooler. And then you get to Camarillo and Oxford and Ventura and the beaches up there, much cooler. Now, they're the same temperature.
Really?
Used to be like between our house and Ventura was a 20 degree drop.
Wow.
Now they're the same.
Must be global
So there's
warming.
there's no place to
cool off. Yeah, exactly.
You know? But our new air conditioning is working stellarly. I just love it. It's like, I don't have to leave the house now. I want to go home and just crank it down to 68. Just chill.
Right. No, I get it. I also love the sun, though. Like, look, you're a California girl. You're used to this. You're like, yeah. Like me, I'm like, oh, my God, it's so nice. Like,
no, I'm the weirdo here sitting in long sleeves because I'm so afraid of being out in the sun anymore. My skin is getting, like, red. And even though I put sunscreen on every day.
Do you go home and you just, like, take off everything?
Everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And put on ice cubes. Yes. I literally
stick
dangle
your head in the freezer.
Yeah, I dangle ice cubes from my nipples. Yeah, that's what I do.
I'd love to just, like, spy on you one day.
But you know me with the, I know I use big towels that I just put cold, ice cold water on. You know, you gave me that little wet towel. It's not enough. I need like this thing. Like it's a whole, like it weighs 10 pounds, but it's cold. And I just put it all over
me. That would be like a nightmare wrap. For me. Unless I'm like in cardiac arrest, like don't put ice on me. Like that would be a nightmare.
So no, yeah, no fur coats for me. I'm an ice coat girl.
Oh my God, that's crazy. Wow.
Anyway, so any quick updates?
For me, it's kind of cool. I joined this, it's hard to explain, but I'm in this like spiritual program and it started on Saturday and it's really cool. It's like, it's taught by an intuitive and it's just really neat. So I you know, it's kind of cool to do that and just sort of focus on that for a few hours and I loved it.
That's
really
wonderful. Cool. Is that a weekly thing?
No, it's going to be probably a few times a month. There's like no set date and it's kind of evasive. It's sort of bizarre, but I think that like adds to the mystery of it. And like, I think she wants to kind of see her commitment to it, but yeah, so that was kind of exciting.
How fun. Yeah. How fun. I'm going to hopefully do goat yoga.
Oh my
soon.
God. Shut your mouth. My friend just told me about that and I want to bring the boys there. Do you want to meet us there? We'll do it.
Yeah, when are you going to go? We'll do that off show. Yes. Oh my gosh, how fun.
Wouldn't that be so fun? I think kids would love it.
Yes.
Anyway.
When it's not as hot, though, because it's outdoors.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Anyway, so we missed you last week, Kelly. You were not here because you were doing something for your precious son.
Yes.
And it's... didn't go so well, huh?
Yeah, we'll see. We're still in the process.
All right. Yeah. So we had Douglas Knoll, who was on with his book, How to De-Escalate, Learning How to Deal with People with... anger. And you know, it was really fascinating. I had my friend who co-hosted for you, Misty, and we had some technical issues, so we had a lot of fun chatting, as if we were the ones being the experts on that. We had a lot to say, you know. And then he came back on, and it was good. He had a lot of things to offer. Like a lot of times he even says that the I statement approach, not good.
No,
you want to really lean into the person's emotions in front of you. And there was a couple of things that he highlighted, which was one, you cannot personalize anything that's coming out of that person's mouth. Mm-hmm. Because once you do, then you're activated.
Got it.
You know, and then you've got brain chemistry on fire meets brain chemistry on fire.
Uh-huh.
So you want to just sort of
lean in. What are you supposed to do? Just ignore it? Like ignore the words?
Ignore the words.
Yeah.
And go right for... actually making a suggestion what you think the person is feeling.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Like, clearly it seems as if you are very angry right now. You are very upset.
Yeah.
I understand. So you're really showing them that they don't have to fight to get you to see what they're feeling.
So
but I'm not going to give away the rest of the things.
No, but don't give it away. But as you said that, I want to be like, fuck you. Like, that's what I want to say.
Yeah. Well, you get to say, fuck you, but the listener should not be saying, I see that you're very angry.
Uh-huh.
You just keep repeating it.
You don't engage.
No, but so you're like bold, but you're not confrontational.
Very interesting.
Anyway, but he gave us lots of good tips. So if you missed that show, please take a listen. And then today we have,
very cool,
the director of the Museum of Broken Relationships. What a concept. Her name is Alexis Hyde. And the Museum of Broken Relationships explores broken love and other human relationships, what they mean to us, what they tell us about what we share, and how we can learn and grow from them. It is composed of objects donated anonymously by members of the public from all over the world. Each exhibit is an object, some of them ordinary, some of them extraordinary, and a story which together recount a watershed event in someone's life. The exhibit reflects the full range of human emotions. Some are sad, but many are amusing and hopeful and remind us that people change, grow, and recover. Love relationships may end. Relationships with family members, business partners, cities, religions, and even with our former selves may end, but we learn and move on. The dislocation of a broken relationship may be isolating, but the experience is universal. No one is alone in this. So true. Yes. Welcome, Alexis.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
What, pray tell, inspired this concept?
Yes, that's the first question.
I know, right? That's the first. Got to get to the bottom of it. It started actually quite a few years ago in Zagreb, Croatia. An artist couple broke up and they joked that they could start a museum with what was left over. And a few years later, they stayed friends and they thought the idea kind of had legs, like it kept being something that they would discuss. And so they decided to put on the first Museum of Broken Relationships with their items and items of their friends and families, because we all have things. Mm-hmm. And it was immediately a big hit. And this was about 2006. And it immediately started touring, going to other institutions and museums all over the world. And they opened their first brick and mortar in 2010. And then we opened the second one last year in June.
Oh, how exciting. God. Where are you located?
We're on Hollywood near Highland, 6751 Hollywood Boulevard.
What a fabulous location.
Right,
you're right there, the Wax Museum, all those things.
Exactly. So, okay, I have so...
I know, well, because everyone's coming through, and it's such a universal concept, so it's really for everyone.
For sure.
So I'm just going to dive right in, because I want to know what the most interesting object that you have seen donated, because I bet there's just a story behind that one.
Sorry, which one?
Oh, I was saying...
Oh, about the...
The most interesting object that's been donated.
Can I be objective anymore? I don't know. I get things, you know, things that you'd expect, like ticket stubs and t-shirts, and then, you know, things like 1,000 origami cranes, which I would think would be really weird. But I also have a woman sent me her breast implants that she had removed.
Whoa.
And... a lot of people, when they submit their objects or their stories, you know, they send me things, you know, they say they're going to give me their bleeding heart or a room from Silver Lake in 1997, and they're kind of metaphorical donations. So when she submitted it, said she was going to be sending me her breast implants, I thought she meant metaphorically.
Right.
And she did not. She sent me the actual biohazard bag.
Oh, my.
With these breast implants in them. And the story behind it is she was dating this man, and he convinced her to get them, and he paid for them. And immediately, her body started rejecting them. Mm-hmm. She had to have multiple reconstructive surgeries around them. Mm-hmm. And she eventually, you know, ended things with him after things went south. And he also made her pay him back for the...
No way.
You know, for the procedure.
What a pig. No way.
And she had to have them removed and then have another major reconstructive surgery. And she kept them. And she wants people to learn that, you know, you have to love yourself.
For sure.
And, you know, don't change yourself for other people.
What a beautiful story.
Yeah, I can't believe the douchebag had her pay him back.
She, like, still can't get over the guy.
I know, right?
That's just, like, that's so wrong. I understand somebody wanting an engagement ring back, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if the things didn't work out or something like that. Because, you know, but you to alter your body for someone and then they want you to pay them back and you didn't want to do it, that's just revolting. Men out there, anybody, if that is a concept of yours... fucking forget it.
Okay, but here's my thought.
I know.
She has to take some responsibility for agreeing to this.
She didn't agree to pay for it.
She absolutely does.
Right. I just meant in general.
Absolutely does. She was saying that, you know, she shouldn't have been in a relationship in the first place because she didn't have the self-confidence to say to stick up for herself.
Yeah. No, I'm saying
in a way that she wanted to. And she regretted it. And she wants people to learn from her mistakes because she knows that she was party to it.
Right. Oh, I agree with her level of responsibility in having agreed. A gun wasn't put to her head, but if he agreed to pay for it, then what was the condition? I've agreed to pay for it as long as you stay with me. Nobody else can touch those boobs if you leave.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. That's just wrong. I'm taking a strong stance on that one.
I know, right? Exactly. That's so funny.
Any other really extraordinary or interesting or odd?
The one that I get the biggest kick out of is a woman sent me some belly button lint that she, I guess, when her and her partner, they would be done, he would take the belly button lint and he would stick it to her sweaty body post-coital relations. And so one day she decided to up his weird and keep it. So she's like, okay, you're going to be weird. I'll be even weirder. And she kept it. And they're no longer together, and she sent it to me.
Oh,
and so I have belly button lint on display, but I love it because it just goes to show how we're all kind of gross human beings and do weird things.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, someone's not going to be weirded out by your belly button lint. In fact, that they might even, you know, one up your weirdness.
Yeah.
So it just shows what kind of, you know, interesting things happen when we're, you know, really intimate and trusting with people.
I have a funny story for you. So when I was in I'm going to say like early 20s, there was this man who was very interested in me, but I saw him more like a father. I mean, he was like over 20 years older than I was. And while I did date a lot of older guys, he just seemed like too old. And I know that my friend kind of liked him and all this stuff. But I had gone to visit because I liked him as a person and I wanted to be friends. And he was really smart and interesting. So I went to his office once. He was going to take me out to lunch. And I smoked at the time. I smoked cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And so I had had a cigarette and I emptied it in his ashtray. And didn't think anything of it. You know, we sort of stayed in touch. And about 10 years later or so, I called him up out of the blue and I said, hey, what have you been doing? I just want to say hi. How are things going? And he goes, yeah, let's get together again. And I go back and I visit with him and he goes, I got to show you something. He had taken the cigarette butt and put it in a little baggie and he had kept it for that much time.
Oh my
God. Isn't that? I thought, okay, that's a little weird.
That is very strange.
Isn't that weird?
Unbelievable.
How about you? Do you have a funny story?
You know what's so funny? This is very funny. I dated a guy in high school and it was me who took the object. I'm trying to think. I went to his house and he had some clay sculpture something and it broke and I kept part of it and I don't even know if he knows and I think I still even have it. Isn't that crazy?
I think you have to Facebook friend him and let him know this
that,
and you need to donate it to the museum of broken relationships.
So people can
I will take that.
Do you not take any is there any objects you will not take?
Well, because everything's, you know, they're all exhibited anonymously and told anonymously, because I think that's when people are really forthcoming with what actually happened, if they were wrong or maybe something that happened to them that maybe they're not so comfortable saying if you have to put your name on it. So I don't take things that have pictures of faces or full names. You know, I'm not going to take a marriage certificate that has, you know, full names and information on it. I won't take things like that. And we, you know, reserve the right if something's horribly racist or offensive to not, but in general, you know, my heartbroken audience there, it's been really wonderful about the things they send. And we get things of sexual nature and I have pubic hair and I have sex toys and I've got half used bottles of lube. But I also have like a lot of teddy bears and things like that, which are, you know, very sweet.
Do you have to like open this stuff with gloves? That's what I'm wondering. Like when it arrives, are you like,
suit on? My employees get so mad at me because I'm so just when things come in, we get, you know, everything, things come in waves and I'm just in a rush and I've got to get everything organized and done. And I'm just reaching into bags with no gloves, nothing, just caution to the wind.
Exactly.
And grabbing at things. And then one time I grabbed something and it was hard, but it was also sharp and kind of mushy feeling. And I was like, I've made a mistake. And I pulled it out and it was a melted cell phone that someone had put into an oven. And I was like, this could have been something dangerous. I should be more careful.
Oh my gosh.
I haven't been, but.
Right. Wow. This is my sick mind asking, did anybody ever send in like a cut off finger or something like that? You know, like you know how people say weird things, like I'd cut off my left arm
for you,
you know, and I'm sure that some sick fuck out there has done this. Did you ever get anything
had people submit the closest I've gotten to that besides the pubic hair and the belly button lint, which in case I do ask them to, you know, send it in a bag as it is organic in nature. Someone had his wedding ring tattooed and he was trying to get a friend to get a scalpel to have it cut off and send it to me. And I was like, I'm not gonna take that. Please don't send that. Please don't. I am in absolutely no way encouraging you to cut off part of your body. Please don't. I was like, but if you go get laser tattoo removal, I'll take the receipt.
Right. Exactly. There you go. That's smart. But so do people have to get permission before they send an object in? Is that how it works?
Yeah, you head to our website, brokenships.la, and you click on our donate button, and there's a form, and it basically just asks you what's the object, where did the relationship take place, what were the dates, and what's your story, and it's all up to you, and then you send that in to us, and we send you instructions on how to bring it in if you're local or how to send it in if you're not.
That's so cool.
If anybody has an interesting story, feel free to call us right now at 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. You can disguise your voice. We don't care. We just want good stories.
And we're talking with Alexis Hyde, the Museum of Broken Relationships. Wow.
This is so amazing. I'm trying to think if I've ever kept anything like kind of odd of anybody. Alexis, how about you, just in your personal life? Do you have anything that you've kept that's been sort of more unusual?
I don't have anything unusual. I was thinking about that, or I've been thinking about that obviously since I've been at this job, and I'm a little bit more of a purger. You know, the relationship's over. I get rid of things. Although I did just recently move and I was going through some stuff and I found a old, one of those little film strips you get in a photo booth
An
ex and I, and that got me in the stomach a little bit more than I would have liked to admit. Mm-hmm. And then it probably went in the trash.
Exactly.
So I'm a purger for sure.
And did anybody ever send an object and then you put it up and they're like, no, we're back together. I want it back.
Cool. Yes. Question.
Yes. That's happened twice now.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, no, this is really important. And I was like, okay. And normally we have, you know, our policy is once you donate it, it becomes part of the collection and we can't give it back. But both of them wrote such impassioned letters about how important it was, and they've gotten back together, and they're so happy now that I let them come and pick it back up.
That's sweet. Now, what will you do when you get so many objects over the years? Do you rotate in certain objects and rotate some out? Or
yes.
That's a great idea.
Yes. There's about 115 objects on display, because more than that, your brain starts to melt a little bit from the reading and just all of the emotions. And I have probably about 500 objects in my collection. The Croatians have probably over 2,500 by now.
Wow.
So we rotate and we put on social media, and I have a Medium page and our Instagram and Facebook. And, you know, I'm always trying to show things, and I'm always rotating objects in when they come in. And, you know, we've got a new book coming out in November that'll have, you know, other stories that haven't been seen before. So we're always trying to find ways to get, you know, and social media is just amazing for that, to just be able to get these stories out, because they're so amazing and important, and people just love to read them, because I think it's really wonderful to feel like you're not alone in this, especially some of these stories, they mirror your own so closely.
Right. You could probably run a contest for, you know, a worldwide contest to have people send in their most unusual thing that they've kept. Mm. Or maybe even eventually when you have so many objects, doing themes, like this month's theme for the exhibit is going to be, you know, like they have the Titanic theme right now at the Reagan Library.
Right. So something like
that. Oh, yeah.
How interesting. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, I was joking with one of the artists in Croatia that I could probably have a heart-shaped rock section, because we're in Southern California, and so many people go on their beach, you know, walks with their paramours.
Oh, that's so
and they pick up the heart-shaped rock.
Yes.
But we do, we definitely love to do the themes, and, you know, especially that's why we also collect everything, because you don't know what's going to be important tomorrow or culturally relevant tomorrow.
Yes.
And in ways that, you know, it wasn't before, or you start to get new objects revolving around like a specific idea or, you know, maybe, you know, public event or current event that can be relevant for people healing and learning and growing now.
I have two questions. Well, the first thing I want to say is this is I bet this is so healing. So obviously you're talking to two people in the mental health profession, but like, I just would think this would be so cathartic for people to sort of donate, tell their story. But yeah, my question
really
was,
is.
Yeah, what are the emotions of the people when you see them walking through the museum? I mean, I can imagine it's just kind of a ray of everything, but what's the most common that you've seen?
The most common, like you said, it is an array, and I have people who are just like, take this from me, and I have people who are crying, but most of all, it's a physical relief. When we take the objects from them, I can see their shoulders relax, and you can just feel their energy kind of shift of like, okay, I found a place, I'm participating in this ritual, I'm laying this to rest, and I'm moving on.
Mm.
And it's really incredible to just see people just relax after and you can tell too sometimes when they come in and they're a little bit nervous or they're excited and they've, you know, amped up a little bit and then, you know, but when they hand the object over physically, you can just see them just relax, and it's so wonderful. And then they usually, you know, come through and, you know, look at the exhibits here, and they leave feeling really wonderful to be a part of this kind of storytelling of broken relationships.
Now, do you have people mostly donate something from their most recent breakup, or have you ever had anybody who like sent something in that they found in an old box that they had held on to for, you know, five other relationships they've been in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet. Oh, definitely. I have this woman who, she's married with kids now. She was telling me when she dropped it off, but these are a bunch of corsages she kept from her junior year of high school.
Aww.
of all of the dances she was invited to then, and how she feels like maybe she lost something, like maybe that's when she peaked. Mm. And so it's really like a self-examination situation, as opposed to maybe one specific relationship. But she's been in many relationships since then.
Mm-hmm.
I also have this one really beautiful velour blanket from the 70s that this woman had as a remnant of an affair she'd had with an exchange student from Mexico. It was just a summer thing, and he went back to Mexico, and she went on with her schooling. But she saved it.
Yeah.
In 1972. You know, she's probably moved a bunch. She's probably been in multiple relationships since then. But this is something that she always looks back on as, you know, fondly about this, you know, wonderful summer she had.
Oh, this is...
That's so neat.
I love this. I cannot wait to visit. I'm, like, dying. It's just so up my alley.
When I was younger, like, really younger, like, in, you know, middle school and high school, I was such a sentimentalist, or whatever you say.
Funny.
Very sentimental. Yeah. And would save, like, almost everything that anybody would give me. Friends, you know, important people in my life. I might still save my friends' Christmas cards that I get for, like, 10 years ago.
You know,
I still have a box of those. One time, though, I was going through when I was doing a move, and I had opened up a box that I had, I guess, shoved in a closet, you know, kind of not in a storage space, but sort of like that. That's something that you never look at, like with my my sash from Girl Scouts and yearbooks and all this kind of stuff. And there was like this one card from this boy I dated. He was older. He was like 17 or 18. I was 14. I don't know why my parents always let me do this, but anyway, he had written me this most beautiful card about saying that, you know, he knows that I won't choose him down the line because, you know, I'm so young and I have my whole life to live ahead. But if I were of that age, he would marry me. And I'm like, that was so sweet.
So you kept the letter.
I did.
Do you know what? Here's something funny. I've while you're talking, all these memories are coming back to me. I still have a letter from a boy who was brilliant, wrote to me in seventh grade.
Oh.
And I still have it because it was such a beautiful letter. And he was like, I don't know what you do when you go out with somebody. So, you know, if you say yes, you know, please let me know. Otherwise,
so cute.
I'll never forget. He said, otherwise, burn the contents of this letter. Of course, I kept it. did not follow his directions. But yeah, but see that, it's so interesting because obviously I have no connection to this guy, but I think it would be hard for me to donate that for some reason because... I don't know. Maybe I like holding on to, you know, that admiration.
Because it was sweet, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that people donate more things from people that they ended up being angry with and not liking, or things that just, it's just time to just let that person go and there's sort of like a freedom of release?
It's both, definitely. Because I definitely have some things with people who I have a whole section of objects with people looking back with fondness. You know, just because it didn't work out doesn't mean, you know, that that's a bad thing. Not every broken relationship's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're not
sure.
supposed to be with everybody that we're ever with or friends with everybody we ever meet. And, you know, people learn and they grow. And it's really wonderful to see like those things. And then also some people are, you know, still right in the processing of it, in the middle of it. And they're just hoping to figure out, try to find some sort of solace in, you know, their anger or sadness or grief. And they want to be able to, you know, process that. And then some things have been, I have one that's just really heartbreaking. It was one of the first donations I actually received, and her husband passed away 9 or 10 years ago from cancer. And she sent in all of the leftover cologne bottles that were under his sink, you know, and just grungy, just bathroom grungy, and just, you know, exactly what they look like. And they're all like a third full, all been used, and you know that they smell like him.
Yep.
And she, you know, she held on to them for a long time, but she also knew that she needed to, you know, for her own sake, have to move on. And so she decided this was where she was going to, you know, send them. So she kept them for a long time. And it was just like, these aren't useful for her. You know, I mean, in that, in the most, you know, true use of that word, like she cannot use these.
Yeah.
And So she was, you know, she was able to, wow. you know, hopefully find some solace in donating them to me and knowing that people would read and feel for her here. So there's so many, it's so interesting. There's a whole rainbow of emotions and reactions and reasons for donating and reasons for visiting. It's really an exercise in humanity every day.
What this reminds me of two things. So I'm sure you've heard of Post Secret, where people send in their secrets.
Yes.
Exactly. So this reminds me of Post Secrets meets, there was a book I read one time, it's called Pictures of My Ex-Girlfriend. And it's about this guy who photographed all the women he had like had relationships with, and he told like really sweet stories about each one.
Aww.
And it kind of reminds me of both of that. It's like sort of this anonymity but like relationships, you know, so it's like this beautiful combination of both of those things.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, I know, it's so funny because we've done a few events with Frank from Post Secret.
Oh,
and it is like our overlap is just so huge of people wanting to confess and share, and also just looking for connection and looking for people they can relate to. It's very similar themes. And then I really want to get my hands on that picture book.
Yes. Isn't that funny? Yeah, well, that I think there is something about that, you know, human connection. I love what you said in the bio. It's one of my favorite lines. You said, "The dislocation of a broken relationship may be isolating, but the experience is universal." And it's so true, because I think if you're going through that, you really feel so alone. And it's like, even
right,
you
and
know,
no one's ever felt this low before,
right.
And no, everybody else is doing wonderful, and I'm the only one who's hurting right now.
Yes.
Yeah. And nobody understands.
Aww.
But it's not true. We all understand, and I'm here, you know, walking around in my museum, proof of it.
Right.
That, you know, you're not that alone.
Yeah, and it's so empowering for people, too, when they can recognize that. I mean, I know some people believe in the soulmate, that one person and one person only. But, I mean, we have over 6 billion people on this planet. If we were only meant to find one, you know, most of us wouldn't be with anyone. Because what if our soulmate lives in China and we're here in Los Angeles,
exactly.
Right? It's probably not going to happen.
So. I used to think about that when I was little. I was like, I'm only supposed to have one. What if they live in, like, Rio?
Right.
I mean, am I
right.
ever going to go to Japan? What if I don't speak Japanese?
But, like, here's where I believe that if you are meant to meet with that person, it will happen. So it's like, you don't make that happen. You know, the universe, you know, makes it happen if it's supposed to happen. But anyway,
yeah,
that's a whole
different
conversation.
Yeah, just forget about that. No. the point I was trying to make, Ms. Kelly, no, was that I think most people, when you do realize that there is more than one person on the planet who you can have a very successful relationship with, maybe that won't be your one and only or your soulmate, but someone that you can really bond with and share joy and love and laughter and all those things for an extended period of time, that gives us some comfort that if we've lost this relationship, it really just made space and time and availability for a new one to emerge, and probably a better one. I mean, I don't
know.
I look back on most of my relationships and saying, so glad that I didn't settle for that one. I am just really glad that I, you know, moved on, because it just didn't have enough good in it.
Yes, exactly. No, that's a great way to look at it.
Exactly.
It's a really great way to look at it. Yeah.
So I hope, Christopher, if I do break up with you, I'm going to have someone better. I'm just kidding, though.
She's talking about her boyfriend. So what's the biggest...
No, I call him my husband.
Oh,
boyfriend is so demeaning. We've been together for 9 years.
God, I can't believe it's been that long.
I know.
Yeah,
it's you know, for all intents and purposes, we stayed together longer than most people's marriages.
Yes, that is true.
And that's the
true.
Key is because we didn't have children together. He has his children and I have mine. Because
right,
if we had parented together, forget it.
So I want to know what the biggest object that was sent was.
In size, you're saying?
Yeah.
The biggest. Okay.
So there's two. It's kind of a tie. One is even though it doesn't take up, no, it takes up quite a bit of space. I got a handmade sign that says, in each one, I believe it's about 3 feet by 2 feet, WILL, and on to say, "Will you marry me?" ? Because he took her up on a hot air balloon ride, and he had all of his friends each holding a letter down on the ground so that she could see it from the balloon. And the twist on that one is she said yes,
right?
But she cheated on him 6 months later, and the engagement was off.
Oh no!
So that takes up a very good portion of my upstairs, to the point where I can't even show the entire sign because it takes up so much space. I only have "Marry Me" as opposed to "Will You Marry Me?"
Right. So what do you think?
And then,
oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Hmm?
No, go ahead.
No, you
Oh, I was just going to say.
Oh, this is the other thing I have. Oh,
you go. You go, Alexis.
It's a 7-foot teddy bear.
7-foot teddy bear? Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
So I want to know.
I tried to pick it up the other day and I pulled a muscle.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. The will you marry me guy. What was the story, the mm-hmm. lesson he wanted people to learn in that? Because I hope it wasn't that don't ask somebody to marry you in a hot air balloon. But what did he have a particular moral to his story?
Well, I think it was more of just he spent a lot of time on these signs and he really put a lot of effort into this. And I think he wanted to just, you know, maybe just show people that even if you see on Instagram someone's, you know, getting a proposal from a hot air balloon, doesn't mean things are perfect.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, things are still, they can still fall apart and that's just life. And he's getting to a point, hopefully he didn't want to burn them or throw them away because he probably put a lot of time and effort into this. Right. So he wanted someone to see and hopefully relate or mm-hmm. know that, you know, engagements fall apart all the time too. It's not just a boyfriend. Yeah. It's not just a uh-huh. wedding. I mean, not just a marriage. Mm-hmm. It's not only divorces. Some right. people don't even, you know, get that far.
Sure, sure. So you asked Kelly what was the biggest mm-hmm. item. So I don't know if that you can answer this, Alexis. But what is the most expensive item that's ever been donated?
Probably one of the wedding rings. We've gotten a couple of engagement rings. Uh-huh. Some diamond rings, and those, it's probably one of those, mm-hmm. I would think. Although I did get, actually I got a really beautiful Celine bag, handbag donated, and I know that's a pricey ticket.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know, when we did a pop-up in Seoul a few years back, someone donated a Jeep.
Oh, a Jeep? Like a newer model Jeep?
A Jeep.
Oh my.
Whoa.
Like an automobile. Then they had to take it apart to put it back together inside the museum in South Korea. But they donated a Jeep.
Wow.
So I believe that's probably the winner.
Yes.
I would have to say. Also, one of the larger items.
The
that's
largest and the most expensive.
It's definitely got to be the Jeep.
Right. Unless Elizabeth Taylor had donated one of her diamonds.
Oh, right. And that would have been.
Whoa. So, that might have gotten, quote unquote, misplaced into
personal
into
your
collection.
Jewelry.
Of course.
So it's interesting. So we think of relationships just with partners, with spouses, but it's interesting. So you said it could be with family members, business partners, with yourself. Mm-hmm. So you see a lot of that as well?
We do. We definitely do. We've got quite a few things with people's spouses. One is a man who bought himself a Peter Pan plush toy when he was 25 as a reminder to always stay young and creative and optimistic. And he sent it in. Mm-hmm. He's 50 now. And he said, you know, that optimistic boy is gone.
Oh,
I had to grow up.
Oh, wait a minute.
And
all the optimism?
I know.
No.
She's so sad.
It's so sad. And then I have ones with, you know, people who've been fighting addictions and breaking up with their old habits and themselves that way. Mm-hmm. I have a breakup with New York City. I have a breakup with Texas. I have quite a few family mm-hmm. ones. I don't get as many friend breakups as I would like, but I have a theory about that. And I think it's because if you're with a best friend for so long, you know, you're almost more intimate with them than you would be with, say, a romantic partner, because they know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it can be really hard to let go of that and actually say that this is over. Because I think everyone always kind of hopes that maybe you'll fall back in with your best friend.
Yes, totally agree.
Yeah,
I totally see that.
Of course.
Yeah.
I could also see that maybe some, you know, parent that's lost a child, or, you know, a child losing mm-hmm. a parent, mm-hmm. that some really important memento might have been something that was donated.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We have, I have a really poignant one with a plastic bracelet that this woman would always wear whenever her grandson came over, because he liked to play with it on her wrist. And he didn't live past four.
Mm.
Oh.
So she donated the bracelet because it was too hard to see it.
Of course.
And that one's, and then I have another one about a woman whose child is estranged, and she was holding on to this little stuffed animal that she'd bought for her daughter, hoping that, you know, one day they would get back and
mm-hmm.
she'd be able to give it, and, you know, they'd be able to laugh and move on. And it's been 20 years, so she sent it to me.
Oh,
very.
Oh, yeah. I bet you get stuff from people's pets passing too.
Oh,
right?
My God. I didn't even think about that.
Anybody ever send
you
like
pets? I do. I have a a few things about the pets, and that's always really hard because people are, we love our pets so unconditionally, and they love us too.
Yes.
And so I've got a couple chew toys and a few collars, but also I know sometimes when people send things, I can sense a little bit of trepidation, and I'm like, just make sure, you know, once you donate that it is part of the collection, you won't be able to get it back. And a lot of the pet stories, honestly, probably 90% people don't actually follow through and send it in. And I think the idea of parting with that, that leash or that collar is a little bit too hard.
That makes complete sense to me.
Has anybody ever donated somebody's ashes?
I've not got any ashes, but I don't know if Croatia has. They might have, but I have not.
Wow. So you're like on the ground looking at the objects first and foremost. It's not like you're in the back and they're like, hey, what do you think about this one? Like you're front and center.
We get everything in and kind of going through things, and it's really interesting. You know, I see the stories when they come in to send them instructions on how to bring them in. So I kind of get an idea of which ones are coming in first, and then when they come in, it's always really exciting because it's like, oh, I was excited about this one, or I was wondering what this looked like, because sometimes they don't describe them properly.
Right.
Or not properly, but they don't describe them in a way that I would be able to immediately identify what the object is. And so if some things are much more beautiful or you know, destroyed or ugly, then they said, and that makes for a really interesting visual object, and that's always really exciting. Or some people just say, for instance, the 7-foot teddy bear, he just said he was bringing in a teddy bear, and he called like 3 times to say he was trying to find parking, and I was like, okay, guy, like, just bring in the bear, like, I don't know what the big deal is. And then him and a friend are lugging this thing, and I was like, oh, you didn't explain it like that.
Right.
You just said it was a teddy bear.
Right.
This is 60 pounds worth of fluff.
Wow.
That's really funny.
Alexis, if you wouldn't mind, can you share a little bit more about your own personal background? Like, were there any previous careers or anything that were instrumental in inspiring this endeavor, or just this, just simply because of the creation?
I moved to Los Angeles specifically to work in contemporary art because I like the weather. And I also always felt that it had a much more open landscape in terms of what was creatively acceptable here. You know, we don't have like a rigorous blueprint of this is how someone is creatively successful like you would in, say, New York or London, where, you know, museum and art and visual art practices have been more established. And so I was always really excited about that. So I came down here and I started working in galleries and working for artists, and I kind of got a little bit of a reputation of being able to do the weird things that no one's ever done before, and project managing those kind of unprecedented situations. Worked with most of the museums here too in different project management capacities. So when I saw, because the president of this location, John B. Quinn, he's a lawyer, and he was so taken with the idea in Zagreb. He was like, I have to open this up in Los Angeles immediately. And he talked with the artists, and they were so simpatico. He was like, they're like, great, let's do this. And so he didn't know how to find a museum director. So he posted a job on the internet, and a friend had sent it to me. And I was freelancing at the time. I hadn't applied to a job on the internet in 10 years. And I was like, well, my resume will get me in the door, but I'm super curious. Is this, you know, is this going to be something proper?
Right.
Is this going to be, you know, a basement in Chinatown? Is this going to be, you know, is this associated with Croatia? Because I was already familiar with the concept. Like, what's going on here? I just wanted to know. And then when I met him, we got along so well. We had such a, you know, solid vision for what the museum here was going to look like. So then that's how I became here. That's how I became me.
Okay, so theirs was a natural fit because you already had the background in art and museums, so you were able to slide this whole thing in together. How beautiful. What a great story.
Well, it was so funny. While you were talking, I was thinking like,
oh my
God, can you imagine if you two got together, then you broke up and it was like, well, I'm going to donate this, you know, and I'm going to donate this of yours, you know, and it'd just be really funny.
That is funny. Very funny.
Exactly. It was pretty funny when I was, I am single in general, and I'm, you know, always trying to not be single. And in the beginning, before this location actually opened and people asked me what I did, there's about 6 months, and I told them, they're like, no, I get it, like, I'm bad at Tinder too, but like, what's your job? And I said, no, like, I'm the director of Museum of Broken Relationships. It's not here yet, but it will be, I promise.
Oh my god, that's so funny. They thought you were being funny. Oh, I love that.
That's great.
Yeah,
That is hysterical.
Oh, I thought I was just kidding. And I was like, no, like, I mean, I'm clever. I'm not that clever.
That is awesome. So, okay, so tell us what is like, okay, when you come there, is it just tell us some the audience something about the experience. Do you come in? Do people spend hours there? Is there a tour guide? Is there an audio or anything? Is it like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's well, you come here to Hollywood and we validate parking at Hollywood and Highland, $2 for 2 hours. And it's actually a self-guided tour because we found, or the Croatians found too, that if you were to read the stories, you can't help but put your own emotional inflections on them. And it's really important that you kind of go in just with your own past experiences, because each person has their own life experience that colors how they're going to interpret these stories.
Yeah.
And we don't want anyone else, because I've had, you know, people read the same story and I have 7 different interpretations of what happened. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to us that that's how people enjoy it. So there's about 115 objects. We've got the main floor and the mezzanine upstairs, and you walk through and you just keep on reading, and it takes about an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours, depending on how fast of a reader you are.
Mm-hmm.
And also depending on if you're going to really get in on the confessional, which we have underneath the staircase. That is an open book where you can write your own confessions, and people spend quite a bit of time in there because they really enjoy reading what other people have to say.
Right.
So it's curated kind of by, it's curated by like an emotional roller coaster. You kind of come in and the first objects you see are the things that you'd expect. Like, I've got a cheerleading outfit and I've got a wedding dress.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of keep, you've got mixtapes, and then you walk in further. And then I start kind of expanding on the idea of what a broken relationship is. And that's when I introduce, you know, the friendships, the places, family members, things of that nature. And it's in a really beautiful, very open room. And then when you come around towards the latter half, physically and architecturally, it's a little bit more contained and you're not as exposed. And that's where the more difficult stories are that are really very heartbreaking.
Hmm.
And so you're not so exposed when I'm ripping out your heart, per se. And then as you keep walking, the stories start to turn to people who are looking back with fondness or, you know, humor, and know the lessons that they learned, you know, they hope that you learn too. So you actually leave kind of on an up of, you know, this is, you know, where I could potentially get to with my broken relationships, where I can look back
and laugh
or smile and not be angry or sad about it.
It's almost
so
like
hopefully, if I've done my job right, you leave on it up.
It's almost like you've mimicked the healthy grieving process in the way one moves through the museum. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that was hopefully a point. Also, I don't want to just dump someone out on Hollywood Boulevard after experiencing
all that. Yeah.
Why, the theater does it all the time, right?
Right, exactly. That's true.
That's true. That is true.
Hey, Alexis, I know this is putting you on the spot, and I don't even know if it's possible, but is there any kind of promotion you would give to our listeners if they, like, used the name of our show or anything, maybe a couple dollars discount on the tickets or anything? Is that possible?
Yeah, I would love to extend a 20% discount for people mentioning the show when they came in. That would be wonderful.
Okay,
awesome.
So all you'd have to do is just tell the front desk girls or guy, mm-hmm. I have a guy too, and just tell the front desk attendants, how about that? About the show, and cool. I'll have them extend you the discount.
Awesome.
That's beautiful. Yay. So hear that, people?
Mm-hmm.
Get your butts down there and go have a broken heart again on us. No.
Right.
No, but, you know, just to kind of like summarize here, I think it's, since we are a psychology related show, and just to be able to say that I'm sure everybody that is listening has had a broken heart at some point or is about to face a broken heart. And it is something that it's important to know there is support for you. There are people who understand. Every one of us understands.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're going through that, find people who are compassionate and loving to hold your hand through that, because you don't want to do that alone. You're already feeling alone enough and you just don't want to add to that.
Mm. I love what you do.
Yes.
I think this is just a fantastic concept. When did it open, by the way?
We opened in June 2016.
Oh, wow.
That's great. Oh,
that's
wow.
Amazing.
So it's just a bit over a year.
It's also good. I would love to say, I know, I would love to say it's also good for people who are in happy relationships, because it's a wonderful reminder of what you're working at and how hard relationships can be, and to be grateful for what you have, and also a very safe place to talk about things that might not have been very comfortable to talk about.
That's beautiful. Uh-huh. Okay, did we miss anything? Because we just have less than a minute left. So is there anything that we missed?
Also really good, and I've had, this was the biggest surprise, I've had quite a few mothers coming in with their teen children saying that this has been a really wonderful way for them to talk about what's okay and not okay in relationships in a way that's not like, oh, mom.
That's brilliant idea.
Brilliant.
I love that.
And is there, absolutely brilliant. Is there a website for people to go to?
Yes, brokenships.la, and we're also on all social media at brokenships.la. And you can find us anywhere. We have fun events, and we're open 7 days a week, except for we won't be open on Thanksgiving or Christmas. But other than that, come on by.
Great. And it's Broken Ships, as in like a ship, sailing a ship, S-H-I-P, brokenships.la.com. Beautiful.
Yeah,
thank
like
you
a relationship.
Such a fantastic guest. We so appreciate you.
Love
what,
you do. And it's just, I can't wait to see it. We really can't wait.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
Oh, good. Yes. Let me know when you guys are coming by. I can't wait see you.
Yes. Okay. Yay. Can't wait to meet you in person. Okay.
Thanks
again. Then next week we have Maura Aaron's Mele? What do you think it is?
I think it's Mel.
Mel. Okay. Hiding in the Bathroom, An Introvert's Guide to Getting Out There. That is super exciting.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Because I'm such an extrovert, it'll be really interesting to hear like what it's like as an introvert.
On the other side.
Yeah.
Right? All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you
have
so
a great day.
Much. Follow us on Instagram. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.